Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.
You are indeed on
you are.
November 6th, and it feels like it's August 6th.
I know. It's oppressive. It's
I don't know if it's oppressive, but it's certainly wrong
to get hotter.
For November.
It's supposed to get hotter.
It is?
Yeah, supposed to get hotter tomorrow and then level off for the weekend.
But, holy cow.
That's what our show is, arts and weather. It's what we do. We do the whole arts and weather
Maybe
thing.
Maybe we should be blessed that we have this kind of weather.
We should. I mean,
because
especially,
in other parts of the country, it might not be so...
Oh, you're talking to someone who's going to be in Chicago from November 18th
to
December 31st. So I'm soaking this up like the proverbial vitamin D.
You better bottle it up.
Bottle it up, yeah, yes.
Take it so with you. Chicago and that lovely wind that comes off that lake?
Yes. Not the reason it's called the Windy City, though. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
No. Politicians. It was a political statement in the paper about it's a windy city because it was such blowhard politicians, corrupt politicians. Yes.
Well.
But anyway, just useless crap stuck in my head, Michael.
We should
As always,
Hollywood
can't remember
that.
My own phone number, but I remember useless junk like this. Would you like to know the principal export of Brazil?
Yes.
Or the average rainfall in the Amazon Basin?
Yes.
I don't know.
Coffee
Thank
would
our
be
sponsor.
The first.
Yes, yes. Coffee, yes. And the capital of Peru is Lima. That
there
I know.
You go.
Thank our sponsors, would you?
Indeed. We'd like to thank our sponsors, ladies and gentlemen. Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown, please visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And you know, I'm going to tell you a little something, folks, about our program today, because it's a very interesting program, and we're talking about two people who met in 1962. These are two composers on Broadway. They had their first Broadway show in 1965 and their first Broadway smash hit in 1966. They were one of the most amazing musical theater songwriting teams in history, simply known as Kander and Ebb. Back in 1991, a bunch of talented artists came together to create a musical review based on the songs of Kander and Ebb, entitled And the World Goes Round. Audiences flocked to the show, which opened on March 18, 1991, at the newly renovated Westside Arts Theater, where it played for 408 performances. After closing, the show had a 10-month national tour. It won the Lucille Lortel Award for Outstanding Musical and the Drama Desk Award for Outstanding Musical Review. The original 1991 RCA cast album was a truncated version of the show on one CD. It was missing quite a bit of material, but today's guest set out to remedy that musical injustice.
For this brand new recording of And the World Goes Round, the show's original orchestrations by David Crane were used, and this new two CD set is a complete version of the entire show from start to finish. As a bonus, it also includes the various playoffs for certain songs. I just found out in the lobby what a playoff was. I didn't know. I mean, I know what a playoff is, but not in terms of musicals. This new studio cast recording features a stellar and brilliant cast. Brent Barrett, Kira DaCosta, Jason Grah, I know that, Christiane Noel, Kristen Towers Rolls, and handling the Herculean tasks of producing and musical direction are today's guests. We are delighted to welcome back to State of the Arts Bruce Kimmel and Joshua Eli Kranz.
Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's great.
Thanks. Such a big audience here.
Yes. I know.
Oh, and
we spare no expense, Bruce.
And another guest, Michael. We have our celebrity phone guest.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's going to be on the phone just sort of commenting on the
randomly.
Show.
Randomly. So we're not going to tell. It's a surprise.
No,
right?
We could tell people. We could just because, you know, it's Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil is joining us today. Dr. Phil, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, he's there. So he'll be joining us.
How's it going?
It's going great. Thank you, Dr. Phil. We'll be
so pushy right off the bat.
He is. He's a bit of, well, he's assertive. You've seen his show.
Yeah, well, don't mess with him, though, because he'll put you in therapy right away.
Exactly. He's got Oprah money. So he knows.
Big time.
So before we talk to these two guests, Michael, or these three, wink, wink, how'd your week go?
The week was busy, as usual, and we had a wonderful Kritzerland show, actually, that Mr. Kimmel brought into Sterling's upstairs.
How many Kritzerlands is that there now? Because I know it's with like us, a recurring.
There, it's in it the was our 51st show, 51st but we've show. Been with you 2.5 years.
Right,
now.
Since
March or since February 1st of
April.
No, April 1st.
So you didn't do any Kritzerlands back when he was at Vitello's?
Actually,
we
did.
We did three there.
Three, okay.
And I had done ones before that at the Gardenia.
Right. Oh, okay, right. Okay.
So about 51 shows overall in the last four years.
What was the theme of this most recent one?
Jerry Herman. Mm. Was delicious.
Yeah.
The whole show. Couldn't have been better.
Yeah.
Right? One of your best.
It was really
the critics
good.
Said. One of your
the
best.
Critics, yes.
They're always well attended, the Kritzerland shows, too.
They are. Yeah. The audience can't get enough of it. And when you put Jerry Herman in the mix, that's really the icing on the cake, I think.
Yeah.
And some wonderful, wonderful performers that evening as well. And you know, Kritzerland, by the way, as long as we're speaking about it, is going to New York.
Oh, really?
Yes, the shows are going to New York. Bruce is going to the Triad on the 15th and 16th of November, am I correct?
Yes.
And doing two different shows. Two of the
doing
more
a Sherman
popular
Brothers
ones.
Show
right.
on the 15th and our the anniversary show we did for you guys
right.
on the 16th.
Same vocalists? Or
a lot different? Of the L.A. vocalists are coming in mm-hmm. to do it, which I thought was fun, and we have a couple in New York.
Yeah, okay. Nice mix of that. And Richard Sherman and his wife, because it's a Richard Sherman show, of
yes.
course, will be there.
Oh.
And Richard will be
He will be singing.
When is that?
November 15th, which is a week from Saturday, and November 16th.
Oh, shoot. I will miss it.
At the Triad.
I'll be in Chicago the 18th, and I don't
That's
get to
the Windy City.
Get to New York. Did you know?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well,
it's something to do with the weather.
Any of your
flying New York
politicians. Friends and cronies,
yeah.
you should make them aware of it if they're not listening to this broadcast.
I have friends.
Today.
I don't have cronies.
Well,
not since college. I took the penicillin, and it all went away.
Thank God.
I had cronies.
Dr.
But cleared,
Phil, where cleared, is he when we need
it,
him?
It cleared right up.
Well,
I asked him to call in. And
just wanted to call and remind you, you don't matter.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That joke is already old. I don't even need to use the soundboard anymore. We've officially exploited that.
Anyhow, that's how my week was. It was
that
filled
was
with entertainment, great entertainment, yep. and happy to be here.
They had a great time.
What about you?
Mine brief. My nephew Tyler was in. Whenever one of
That's
our nieces
right.
or nephews turns 13, they get a free trip to L.A.
Wow.
This is the 17th of 20 nieces and nephews that we've brought out here. We didn't really think this thing through when
yeah.
we planned the whole thing. He had a ball. We went to the Magic Castle with an introduction by Dan Frischman, who
right.
is a good friend of the show.
Right.
And did you can go and attend the brunches at the Magic Castle if you're under
Didn't
21.
Even know they had a brunch there.
They have a brunch for kids, and it was perfect. A 13-year-old in tow, and he dug it and really enjoyed it. And
so how many kids?
What?
Like all of them are kids?
A lot of kids.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a little overwhelming. And that was the only thing that was a little off-putting was the guy who was sort of letting people in. Because everything was great, and then this one guy is just like, you know, we're just, oh, it's magical, and the door's open, and this guy's there, and it's like, this is for kids. They sit in the front. If you can't get in, the show is for kids. I'm like, ah, what a warm welcome. Yes. You worked for the welcome wagon, obviously. But no, it was great. I love it there.
It's very special.
Very funky, and it's
yeah, it is
distinctly
funky.
L.A. And then we did one thing. I didn't know this. I don't know if either of you know this, but there's an abandoned Los Angeles zoo. There's a zoo near in Griffith Park
yes.
that was closed in 1965, and a lot of the cages and animal habitats are still there,
uh-huh.
just all abandoned. We went there with Tyler just to see that, and they're taking down the whole haunted hayride thing, so there were like body parts everywhere and guillotines and all this stuff, and he was a 13-year-old boy. Was in
I did the haunted hayride. It was actually quite cool.
Yeah,
you did go?
Yeah, I went. I went Halloween, the day before Halloween.
Do you know that yeah. was an investment on the TV show The Shark? You know, The Sharks?
Yeah, Shark Tank.
Shark Tank, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They invested in that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Millions they invested in that.
Yeah, no, it was really impressive, but I tell you, it's creepy. Even if it wasn't Halloween, it would be creepy there with the old animal cages and
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
It's a bit off-putting. But anyway, let's talk to
Well.
Would you give this our first guest his due intro, Michael?
I will. I'm so happy to do that. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, became a record producer in 1993, producing many cast albums, Broadway and off-Broadway, Broadway singers, and musical theater concept albums. To date, he has produced well over 180 CDs, including such beloved albums as the Unsung Musicals and Lost in Boston series, Unsung Sondheim, the Stephen Schwartz album, the Alan Menken album, the Stephen Sondheim album, Sondheim at the Movies, a classic series of Sondheim shows in jazz with Terry Trotter, vocal albums with Petula Clark, Helen Reddy, Liz Calloway, and Lori Beachman, among others. Cast albums include The King and I Love You, Your Perfect Now Change, Bells Are Ringing, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Anne Margaret, wow, Little Me with Martin Short, and of course the brand new studio cast recording of And the World Goes Round. Please welcome Bruce Kimmel.
Bruce.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, L.A.
And, you know, that only touches upon what he does.
I was going to say, we're out of time.
An author.
I fell asleep three times.
Yeah, no, I was looking at Bruce's Wikipedia page and pulling the stuff for the intro, and it's like, I have to decide on which hat he's going to wear for the intro, because if we did all of his credits, it would just be, you know, we'd be reading all day.
An actor and with great credits there, and an author, and you just turn these books out.
What's your favorite thing, Bruce? Do you have a favorite thing?
Writing the books has been overall the favorite thing, then record producing, acting, directing, whatever it is.
Yeah?
I just have a good time.
And he has a wonderful blog that he's been writing for years. That people, there's a big following to that blog, isn't
it? It is the longest running daily blog in the history of the internet.
Really? Yeah. What's the URL for our listeners?
HaynesHisWay.com, HAINES. His Way, named after my close personal friend Guy Haynes.
Okay.
Explain to
so
our
as a reminder for the Guy, listeners, though, Haynes, that is distinctly that is different from the underwear.
That's yes, Haynes. It is. Well,
Haynes
kind
is H A Haynes is H A Y, and this is H A I N E S.
But explain about Guy Haynes.
Guy Haynes is a singer I'm very close with, and he was born in 1994. For various reasons, and sings on a lot of my albums.
Various legal reasons.
Has two solo albums, and
really,
he's always booked at the Kritzerland shows at Sterling's, and he has not shown up one time.
And rarely are the two of you seen together.
He has won awards for not showing up.
So you then step in to cover.
I do. I mean, what else am I to do?
And
He's a giver. He's a giver.
He sings for Mr. Haynes when he's not showing up. And so far, that's been every time. Yeah. So, and he's a wonderful singer, Bruce, on top of it.
So a little Kaufman, Andy Kaufman-esque.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
I'm curious about, I was just in hearing that, before we get to And the World Goes Round, I'm curious about something, because seeing Lori Beachman in Joseph was sort of life-changing for me. I was lucky enough to grow up in Connecticut, about 60 miles outside of New York, and in the late 70s and early 80s, I got to see a lot of shows with original casts, Evita, Amadeus, the original of Joseph, with Bill Hutton.
Yes, Billy.
Who I was lucky enough to meet at a Sterling show. But I'm really curious about your experience with Lori Beachman. I was just, what was that like? And because I then later performed at the Lori Beachman Theater on at the West Bank. Is it the West Bank Club right by the? There's a little theater over there across from Theater Row on, I think it's 49th Street. The venue's named for her. But what was her album like? Was it like Broadway standards? Was it originals? What was it?
We did two. She came to me, I knew her agent, and really wanted, she had heard all of these albums we'd been doing and really wanted to do it. And I said at that meeting, "You're loud." And I can't have that. A whole album of loud. She goes, "I'll do anything you need." Wow. I promise. And, you know, I just fell in love with her instantly. So the first album was an Andrew Lloyd Webber album because we knew that would be good.
Sure,
And it would sell. And indeed, it was a huge, huge hit. And then, you know, she had cancer and she knew she wasn't going to be with us forever. And I was walking down the street with her on Broadway and said, you know, my next album will find a really good song for you. I want to do songs of inspiration and hope with Broadway singers. She goes, no, that's mine. I'm doing that. That's our next album. I said, oh, okay.
Wow.
And that was, a very, very special album. And she died, I guess, within a year of that album.
Wow. But talk about one of the great belters, one of the great presences.
Exactly.
She just took that, you know, along the lines of, like, we were talking about Pippin earlier and the way Ben Vereen took the just held that room as the lead. Is it the leading player?
Yeah.
Is that
yes.
the name of it? And it's exactly what she did as the narrator. But anyway, we're not talking about those shows. We're talking about the new shows. And the World is Round. What was
the World Goes Round.
And the World Goes
Round. It is round.
We know it actually is round. It's round, too. Thank you. Thank you. These are the
important things.
Hang on, let's ask it.
Are you taking medication?
Okay, yes, I am. My apologies. Was it the... Was it the show, the production that I saw? Was it the show? Was it NoHo Arts Center? Was that sort of the inspiration to do the album?
Or? I suppose it was the inspiration. Yes. It was not a recording of that production because I was not interested in doing that. But the way it happened is I saw And the World Goes Around at the West Side Arts when it played.
Oh, the one we mentioned. Yeah,
which I enjoyed. Yeah. And then I saw the production Joshua did. Michael affected a meeting.
Yes.
Because they were interested in recording it, and they came to me and they wanted to record that production. I said, that's not interesting to me. What is interesting to me is to do a complete recording with really, really top-notch, great people that I work with.
And complete is the key word.
Complete. Yeah. No. Because the RCA album was missing a lot of stuff that people wanted, and I just felt. But I said, I don't want to do it the way you did the show because it was just piano and drums.
With piano and drums. Yeah.
And you know, I said, the original album had enhanced orchestrations, which they used to do with smaller shows,
right?
So it doesn't ever. There was nothing to represent the show that they actually did off Broadway. So I said I wanted to do the original David Crane orchestrations and have that band. And so that's how it happened. It was a very long process to the recording.
What was the instrumentation for the album? How many pieces did you
have? Did replicate the band that was...
Oh. We didn't have those players.
No. But the instruments?
Yes, it was the seven. I believe it's a band of seven. Which is one reed, a trumpet, a trombone, piano, bass, drums, and keyboard.
Okay. And a banjo player.
And there is, along with Joshua, Kristentower's Rolls, who's on the album, was in the cast.
She was the only one from the cast that was known going into this.
Right.
And I got the rest of the people, who are people I had worked with for years, so Brent and Christy. And Brent had originally done the very first workshop of And the World Goes Round.
Wow.
And he didn't do the show off Broadway. So it was Brent and
Jason Grah, yeah.
And Christiane Knoll, who just jumped at the chance. And Kira, I knew that track was not going to be easy to cast, but Joshua and I happened to go see Smokey Joe's Cafe at the Pasadena Playhouse, and she was one of the stars, and she literally opened her mouth, and I just turned and said, she's it.
There you go.
Done.
Yeah. I agree. She was pretty spectacular in that show.
She was.
We're going to be throwing this out there a couple of times. We also have a couple of tracks of this to play, but I want to get this information out as soon as possible. Chrisserland.com is where you can find out not only more information about this, but more importantly, order this great two CD set. Chrisserland, KRITZERLAND.com. And once again, we'll throw that out there a couple of more times before the show.
You can get it on Amazon.com.
And CD Baby and all that. But you know what's interesting? Going to the Chrisserland thing is it's sort of.
It's fun
to see all of the different things represented there. It sort of it saves you sifting. It saves you having to sift these massive CD sites.
That's
you
right.
Know, and we have a lot of classic show reissues.
Oh gosh, I was going through the list yesterday.
Have.
Yeah, it's awesome. But you know, I must back to the production. I was involved with the production. You know, handling the publicity for that,
which
show.
Was a huge hit that extended.
It
right?
was. Yeah. It was. I mean, you know, first of all, most people haven't had the opportunity to see it because it's not done very often. So, and at the NoHo Arts Center, in the smaller of the two theaters there, they did this lovely production, and Joshua was musical director, and he is also, one of the singers on the album, and does a splendid job. And I think the first track that we're listening to is a beautiful duet that is between Brent Barrett, as Bruce mentioned, and a wonderful Broadway star he is, and Joshua.
Yes, I don't remember you.
I don't remember you.
Did I sound authoritative and that I wasn't reading it off the screen? Did it sound like it just occurred to me that it was just like I'm that familiar with this material?
Yes.
I don't remember you as the track, and why don't we give it a listen now?
Let's do.
Okay, this is from the new CD studio cast recording of And the World Goes Round, I Don't Remember You.
I don't remember you. I don't remember you. I don't recall a single thing we used to say or do. What dancing in the park? What laughter in the dark? What smoldering fireplace that lit your face with every spark? And if I left you once before, somehow I can't recall it anymore. That was another girl. You're not at all like her, though for an instant when you touched me, I believed you were, but I was wrong. This moment is new, because I can't, I won't. I don't remember you. That was another time and place. Although you bear a faint resemblance, you're another face. Yes, I was wrong. I can't, I won't, I don't remember you.
Sometimes a day goes by, one whole entire day, when I don't think of her. 4 hours pass, I look around and find that I haven't thought of her, not even when I'm somewhere we used to go, not even if that's someone we used to know. It's hardly every day, it's most unusual. I can't remember when, but sometimes a day goes by when I don't think of her till morning comes, and then there she is again.
This moment is now. I can't remember.
I won't remember you.
So much.
Thank you.
Wow. That's really stunning. That absolutely really is beautiful. And I should I only have the title of the first thing here. That's actually two songs together. I Don't Remember You and Sometimes a Day Goes By, which is Joshua, you're saying they're normally put together.
Yes.
They're normally
absolutely.
And the first song being from The Happy Time
and the other one from Woman of the Year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, and they do how perfectly they complement one another.
And again, what's interesting about that, Paul, is they're from shows that are not well known by them.
That's true.
At all.
Right.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm not especially versed in musical theater. Certainly not as much as Mike. I mean, I like musicals, but in looking through this, I can see, you know, there's certain ones that pop out. You know, Coffee in a Cardboard Cup, you know, things like that, and other things from Company, or rather from that I'm more familiar with. But those are, I don't think I've heard either of those before. And just how pretty!
They're not very well performed very often, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So special, very special.
No, that was great. And that is, and the instrumentation on that is beautifully lean.
Oh, yeah.
It's just what is backing them up on that?
It's everybody, but it's just sparsely orchestrated.
Really? Oh, wow.
It was pretty much piano and flute on that whole number.
But the horns are there.
And a little bit, with the horns, too.
That was really...
and you're playing piano.
Uh-huh. I played piano on the whole album.
Wow. We have another one that we'll play in the second half.
Yes.
Take us on.
Yes is actually what we're playing. I knew it was yes and not.
You like how I brought that in?
You tell you. You're always working.
Professional.
You're always working. And this is, once again, we're talking about And the World Goes Round. This is the new studio cast album available at Kritzerland.com, among other outlets. But go to Kritzerland.com because it's just easier to find.
It's easier to find.
It's much more fun.
But if you're used to Amazon or CD Baby, you can certainly go there, too.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Bruce, before we chat with Josh for a bit, what's on your dance card in terms of the next couple of things that Kritzerland is doing in terms of CDs?
We do a new soundtrack every couple of weeks, so we just...
is it that often, really?
Every couple of weeks.
Holy cow, no wonder you're 24/7.
So we just announced the world premiere of a score called Falling in Love by Dave Grusin, which is amazing. And the new Sandy Bainum album, which is called It Might Be Fun. It's our third together, and it's an album of songs by me.
Yeah. It's a songwriter on top of it. Yeah.
Really?
It's a first.
Sandy Bainum, I saw her at
Sterling. Sterling's.
But was she part of a Kritzerland? I thought
no,
I saw
she
her.
Did her own show.
Her own show based on...
The second album, simply.
Yeah, the second album that she did.
But this one was really something else because we recorded at Capitol. That's the first time I've recorded there.
In the Sinatra studio.
The big studio.
In the Capitol.
And it's just, we had a 35-piece band. It's pretty amazing.
Couldn't get anything bigger.
Okay. When you wrote, are they just individual songs? Is there a theme to the album? Do you set out, like, did you know you were writing the whole album?
She wanted the title songs for her previous two albums that we did, ironically, were by me. So this Christmas, and because she had asked me to write a Christmas song for her, which I did, and then she wanted a song by me for the second album, which is the title song, Simply.
Okay,
and
beautiful.
She came to me and she said, "Why don't we just do whole album of you?" And
wow!
So this is stuff from the earliest song is from when I was 15, and goes through this year to a song I wrote with Richard Sherman this year. So that's a world premiere of that song. Most of it's from stage shows I wrote and films I wrote and TV stuff, and it's fun. It's a really fun album.
And she has does she have a website where people
she
can
does
say,
sandybainum.com Bainum.com.
sandybainum.com. okay, we'll put that up there. And you know, as I said earlier, Michael, all the useless stuff that I know that does me absolutely no good.
Yes.
Here's another bit of trivia I know about the Capitol Records building.
What's that?
Do you know that the light on top of the Capitol Records building blinks out Hollywood in Morse code?
I did not.
Did you know that? Yes. So next
did
time
you know
drive
that?
By,
did not
it
know that.
Blinks out Hollywood.
I like that in piece Morse of information. Code, yes.
I will say one quick thing, Paul. When we recorded this album, we recorded at Sunset Sound on Sunset Boulevard, and it was we recorded in the studio where the Beatles did their last album. So they had never recorded a cast album in this studio before. So
really?
The
wow.
First cast album.
A lot of
now
ghosts.
Always
lot
Beach Boys. A
lot
of history.
There.
Here's the thing. I know that Let It Be was the last Beatles album that was released, but Abbey Road was the last album recorded, wasn't it?
You know, I don't know.
I think that Let It Be.
I think you're right.
I think Abbey Road was recorded after Let It Be. I don't know. I have it right. Oh. If you know the answer to that, call in. Call in.
Maybe Dr. Phil will call in. Phil. What does Dr. Phil know?
Dr. Phil is. I just have the meds, but the meds one was so good. I would love to play the meds with
you. Are you taking medication?
one more.
Do you torture small animals?
Nice. Nice. All right. Well, let's move on to our next guest.
Absolutely.
Here. I will introduce him. It was at the age. I'm sorry that the segue into you is torturing small animals. I was
perfect.
It was at the age of 1 1/2 that our next guest innately began honing what would become a lifetime love affair with all things musical, from the piano to the trumpet to the guitar to the ukulele and the violin to voice, choral and barbershop to musical theater and to the art of composing. He is an accomplished jazz and musical theater musician and was involved with music well before he could walk. Writing his own music compositions and recording and singing several of those compositions will be a highlight of 2015, as well as several upcoming gigs as one of the most sought-after musical directors in Los Angeles. You can hear him play his brand of jazz at City Club in downtown LA, but if you can't make it there, you can hear him on the new studio cast recording we've been discussing, And the World Goes Round, or as I said it, And the World is Flat, or something to that effect. Please welcome Joshua Eli Krantz, who's with us.
Hey.
Wow, how are you?
I'm fantastic. What an introduction.
Hey, man. Right? As I said before, I just read what you hold up on the cards, man.
Oh,
you hold
goodness.
Up the cards and I read it. That's what it's about.
Where is the City Club? Are you there now?
Well, it's an upcoming thing. I'm going to be starting to do big events up there.
Yeah.
It's in the Citibank building downtown.
Oh.
Up on the 51st floor. It's got this gorgeous,
really?
Gorgeous 360-degree view. It's a very exclusive place.
Oh, beautiful.
So,
talk about medication. I'd have to be on medication.
Well,
the
thing is, Michael and Paul, they don't have a lot of places in town where you can go hear live piano players play anymore. It's kind of a dying art.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I came through a friend, and he connected me with this, so I'm pretty excited.
So you're going to be sitting on top of the world playing
the
piano.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yes.
So,
fantastic.
Let me ask you this about this new CD that we're talking about. How long into the process of doing the show at NoHo Arts Center did you realize that this was something that you wanted to be part of recording, or that you wanted to record it? I mean, obviously, as the show got the accolades it got and the audiences were coming, I'm always curious where in the process that occurred to you.
Well, I'll tell you, Paul, you know, Be Wild About Music Productions, who produced And the World Goes Round at the NoHo Arts Center, we had never expected when we put our first production up that we were going to have a smash hit. And I remembered we were at the closing of the show, and I was in the lobby with Shelby Coleman and Michael Sterling, and we started talking about, you know, the possibility, you know, of doing a cast recording of this, because I felt by listening to this cast recording that it had never been totally done completely.
Right.
And then Michael, out of the last interview back in February, surprised us.
Last year of
2013, surprised us with a surprise guest, not Dr. Phil, but John Kander himself, which was, you know, for me, was like talking to George Gershwin. You don't get to talk to composers like that because he's one of the last three composers of his generation. And I asked him on the radio, I said to him, you know, the song, the CD is not complete. Is this something you'd be interested in? And the only thing I remember him saying is, well, I just write the tunes. He didn't say much else, but he had said that when he had read the reviews of our production, he said he really, really liked what we had done. Right. And, you know, he was very impressed with it. So, and I've heard through other people, including Bruce, that he was very, very impressed with the album. Very, very impressed.
One of the things I loved so much
about...
About that production, one of the things that I loved so much about it was the was the intimacy of it. Mm-hmm. That to see in a small venue like that, and where you really get what the singer is imparting, the facial expressions, mm-hmm. it's not a barn. And even with the more raucous... tunes Arthur in the Afternoon which just is even greater, like so frenetic right in your face like that. How was that dynamic to play? A performer always feels the audience, mm-hmm. but what was that experience like for you?
Well, for me it was very intimate because, as you know, And the World Goes Round is just a series of songs. It doesn't really have a storyline.
It doesn't really have a narrative.
So the director we hired, he actually tied it together. So it was like me. It was my memories going back, and these people all come through a revolving door, and it's like all of a sudden everything that's coming from my fingers and my mind is coming out through these
songs. Now, that was directorial to that production?
Yes, it was directorial to that production.
Okay, so that's the structure that he sort of applied to it.
And if we revived it and did it again someplace else, we'd definitely do it differently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, just... Yeah.
Is it
done differently whenever it's done?
Oh, yeah. No. It's always done as a music. It's always done as musical, musical, musical number, musical number, musical number.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But I mean the take on it, the idea.
Oh,
of it.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody does a little bit different. Yeah.
Because I know that year there had been...
There was another production at the Actors Co-op, which tied it together. They were all in a cafe, and they were all meeting various people. And
then I happened to see that.
And then there was a production in Downey where they decided to take the entire show and put 48 to 70 people in the cast, and they added 12 extra songs to the show. I mean, they did it with
12 extra songs?
They added 12 extra songs to the actual score, which is already 40.
Well, and that production, of course, was
shut down very quickly. It didn't last. It was actually running during our production.
And it's still running, it sounds like, with a meal break.
it's still there.
You know what it is? It's the sequel to Nicholas Nickleby, Dimeless Dimelby.
Look
at the time. Sorry. A bad one.
Well, so here we have this lovely treat. This is a perfect gift for Christmas. That's what this is.
Yeah. Right? I was actually thinking my friend Trudy would
she would go
love
crazy because she's a great musical theater
fan. But the other thing, too, is that what this has is, you know, you can like a musical, you can like a particular show, whatever, but there's such a variety of styles, and because these songs are from different shows. Mm-hmm. So you're not, yep. you know, it's one of those things, it's like short films. If you don't like a song, wait 5 minutes, and there'll be, or three
right.
minutes.
Well, you know, the show itself, and getting it up on the stage, was a dream of Joshua's for 18 years, mm-hmm. and it finally happened, and this must be the icing on that dream.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, now we're immortalized for theater history.
Exactly.
I mean, if you think about Broadway, people do a Broadway show. You could be in a Broadway show for 18 years. If they never recorded the cast recording, who's going to remember
it? Yeah.
Right, right.
And now, Bruce, to that, what Joshua just said, what do you say, if you can even have an opinion about this, what's the percentage of shows that do not get cast recorded?
These days, everything gets recorded because they have changed the business model mm-hmm. so that the producers are building the cost of the album into the budget.
Investment, I see. Right.
In the old days, the labels paid for it, and there would be bidding wars, and mm-hmm. those days are all gone.
But there's still some that must...
very few go unrecorded.
What about Off-Broadway?
Off-Broadway, little is recorded, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, if they're paying for it, mm-hmm. they just bring it to a label, mm-hmm. and the label takes a distribution fee or whatever.
With the way the architecture has changed and so much digital music and a lot of things not even being manufactured, are there things that are just recorded strictly for download?
Because
that was one of the nicest things to see of this, is nice packaging, liner notes, the way CDs should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, cast albums will always have the hard copy, but they're doing like, the composers will do like a thing for their show, like a demo thing. Mm-hmm. And those get released digitally. They don't press them. There's no percentage to press them because they don't sell mm-hmm. four copies.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, the best of it doesn't sell four copies anymore. I mean, it's just... There's no the market, unless you're a running Broadway show, like On the Town is about to have a very expensive recording. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll sell most of their copies, if the show is a hit, in the lobby.
Right.
The most successful cast album I ever recorded, which will shock you, was not The King and I, and not Hello, Dolly, and not any of those. It was I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, because we had 12 years of lobby sales.
And it's not – it's a souvenir as well as a CD.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul, it's really, really rare to find a CD that's actually recorded all live at the same time. We recorded the instrumentalists and
– Oh, really?
And the singers all at the same time.
Oh okay. Yeah. So this that's a cool concept.
Yeah. So because when you read about the reviews and people have said they compare – compare it to actually being in the audience of an opening night performance.
That's certainly what it sounded like with the other track. Favorites on this for you? Any things that stand out? I mean, obviously the...
Well, my favorite track, one of my favorite tracks instrumental is the Entr'acte, which has never been heard before.
Right.
Unless, of course, you saw a production that was in. And then, of course, beside the duet that I got to do with Brent Barrett, my favorite track of the whole company would have been New York, New York, because it's a combination of their song with comedy, and all these people on this album, Christiane Noll, Kristen Towers, Rolls Kierdacosta, Brett Barrett, and Jason Grau, they bring so many different comic elements to what
they do.
And including their vocal prowess. I mean, if you listen to this album, you go from 1 to 100.
That's just it. When you have a voice like that, you don't have to be that funny, and yet they are, you know? Yeah. We should play one more.
Yeah. Yes, I think we should.
This is any... do you want to give this any sort of introduction? This is Yes.
After the opening song of the show, And the World Goes Around, which kind of tells about how life has taken somebody in so many different directions, this is a song about being uplifted.
Okay. We'll give this a listen. This is from the new studio cast.
From 70 Girls 70.
And 70 Girls 70, And the World Goes Around is the studio cast album we're talking about today. And the song is called Yes.
The planet spins and the world goes round. The world goes round, goes round.
The world goes round, goes round.
The world goes round,
goes round.
Say
yes.
The world goes round. Life keeps happening every day. Say yes.
When opportunities come your way, you can't start wondering what to say. You never win if you never play. Say yes. There's mink and marigold right outside, and long white Cadillacs you can ride. But nothing's gained if there's nothing tried. Say yes.
Don't say why. Say why not. What lies beyond what is not. So what? Say yes.
Yes, I can. Yes, I will. Yes, I'll take a sip. Yes, I'll touch. Yes, of course. Yes, how nice. Yes, I'd happily. Thank you very much. Yes.
Lots of chaff, but there's lots of wheat. Say yes.
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 You might get mugged as you walk the street.
Yeah, yes.
Yes. And where's our applause?
Yes. Yeah, where's our
Come
applause?
Come on.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to do applause after
people.
There you go. Yes, there
you
it is.
People I'll here turn on I'll people so fast.
I'll do you one better, Bruce.
Oh, I love that guy, Billy Ray.
Yeah, right. Billy Ray enjoyed it, you know.
You know, whenever I hear that song, I think of Liza Minnelli doing it from her famous TV special.
Mm-hmm. Liza with a Z.
Oh, is that? She, that's one of the ones that she did?
That she did, yeah.
It just makes you happy.
It does make you.
Well, 70 Girls 70 is a show that literally nobody knows. It ran. It had not a great run, but I think it ran a little over 100 performances. Yeah. But nobody really knows that score at all.
No. And Michael, the gems on this CD are the songs that people don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
It's absolutely true.
I know them all.
Well, he knows them all.
And Guy Haynes knows them all.
Guy Haynes knows them all.
Joshua, I want to ask you, what is coming up for you, by the way? I know you're starting to work on a new project. New show.
I'm going to be working, the show I did at the Fringe Festival over the summer called He Wrote Good Songs. It was written by John Peterson about the life of Anthony Newley. We're working to build it into an LA production and get it out to the,
to the world.
It's an amazing project. And John is such a talented person.
Yes, he is.
John Peterson. I'm going to be doing possibly some touring with doing some Comic-Con conventions with a woman named Laura Kelly Ellis, who does she tours around with a jazz show, and she wrote two songs actually for a video game. So I did some musical directing work for her for a group called Kit and the Cats.
Mm-hmm.
This past about 2 months ago, we did a concert out in Whittier. Actually,
nice.
So I'm going to be doing
that. You're busy. And you're always busy.
I'm definitely keeping myself busy, and I'm also I've the most interesting thing about this project that has brought me is a lot of people have approached me to work on one woman and one man shows now as their musical director, which I think is wonderful. It's a great it's a great venue.
Oh,
it's a very creative venue for me to be able, because the one thing that everybody tells me that it works with me is that and if you saw He Wrote Good Songs, which Bruce did see. There is the chemistry that goes on between me and the performer. It feels very much like it's one. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's very seamless. It's not like you have.
Well,
to...
Well, you're a scene partner.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no way around it.
You're absolutely. Yeah. And
especially coming, in that environment.
And coming from the musical theater world as an actor myself, I understand both sides of it. Mm-hmm. I can relate very easily.
Yeah,
your
acting
stage.
Credentials are pretty impressive.
Oh, you can stay up to date with all of this at joshuacranz.com.
Yes,
that's
right.
Your website, www.joshuacranz.com.
Absolutely.
And of course the other website to get this wonderful album is kritzerland.com, among other outlets. But now it's that time, Michael.
It is our time of a baptism.
Yes,
oh, boy.
It's time for us to share and find out stories of woe, performance tales of woe. Bruce, you got something you could share with us?
Just the only thing that comes to mind at my age, everything is embarrassing. But was earlier this year, was it, or late last year? I was to do a radio show for LA Talk Radio with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley.
Mm-hmm.
I got a call at 1 o'clock at my house, and they go, "Where are you?"
Yes.
I said, "What do you mean, where am I?" And they said, "Well, you're supposed to be doing the radio show." I was here in 4.5 minutes, and I live not that close.
Yes. Yeah.
We remember.
But that was horrifying. It's you just start, if I don't write it down, and then I'm reminded like 15 times, and you do, you're relentless, like Adrian Rust.
I'm not relentless.
You're relentless.
Relentless.
But
you're relentless, yes. Like you're ept. No one says the positive. They always say inept. No one says you're ept. No one uses
but,
positive.
That was terrible. That was horrible.
Well, let me see if Dr. Phil has a comment about age.
Do you want to look the best you can for your age? Or are you trying to be something you're not?
No, nothing. Does this guy actually make money?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he absolutely does.
We're making him more money. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Joshua, do you have a performance
tale
of woe?
I have two. Actually, they both happened in high school.
Okay, we only got we got 2 minutes.
Okay, so in high school, I did the production of Chorus Line, and I learned very early in age, you do not piss off your costumer.
Okay.
So there's that very, very quick costume change at the end of the show where you're supposed to step into that gold outfit.
The gold lamé, yeah.
And, well, that performance of one of the performances we did, the costume ripped right down the front. So I went off and I yelled at my dresser and the costume person. And after that time, that costume never zipped up again. I stepped into it every night. Right down. Right down. And then the other embarrassing one, I was doing Fiddler on the Roof back in high school also, and
was playing Model, and I had to run around to the other side of the auditorium to get to the other place. And somebody, we had the original Chagall set, which is the giant thing where the house opens and closes. Well, somebody for some particular reason had pushed it up against the door. So I'm pounding and pounding and pounding, and Tevye is on stage. He's getting ready. He's like, so where's Model? Is he coming? I thought he had something important to tell me. And it's like, and I'm pounding and pounding and pounding, and I never got. I missed the whole scene.
You missed the whole scene.
I couldn't get in. And so of course he was improvising on stage, and the audience was just, you know, they were dumbfounded. I finally get out on the stage, and I said, oh my God, Tevye, it was such a long trip to get here. So, it was
this scene moved faster in the last production of Fiddler I saw.
Absolutely.
Oh, I thought the character was named Motel.
Motel you did? yes, and the Motel California.
Bait.
Yeah,
yes.
We're out of time. But that 50 minutes flew.
How nice to have you guys here. Thank you.
Talking to Bruce Kimmel and Joshua Eli.
Gorgeous. I just said, what a gorgeous experience we've had with playing just these two tracks. Can you imagine what the whole thing is like?
And there are far more. Yeah. There are seven. There's 17 tracks.
There's so
per
many
side
tracks. You need a day.
You need about 2 hours to listen.
You need luggage.
Oh, this is wonderful. Wonderful. And we've been talking about And the World Goes Round, the new studio cast.
Well, congratulations, Joshua, on that.
Thank you.
And
yes.
Bruce, you
Thank
did a you. Beautiful job together. Both of you did a fantastic job. My goodness.
And Michael, before we go, I'd like to thank the musicians on this project. Because they are the unsung heroes. I'd like to thank Roger Wood, Anthony Barbarotta, Mike Flick, David Elsenbroich, Hyan Charleston, Dan Seeger, David Scott Cohen, and, as we call, the other ghosts that recorded on this album.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you both.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Paul, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we will see you next week.
See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.